Chapter 20. There was only one entrance into the temple on the level below. Through it, a single corridor led to the chamber where the replica soul stone was held. At first, Teo was suspicious of how easy it was to find, but then he saw why. It was a large, dome-shaped room with a huge pit in the middle of the floor. From the ledge he stood on, Teo couldn't see how deep it went, but the groaning wind that tickled his face suggested it dropped to the very bottom of the temple. It must have been 100 feet wide, impossible to jump even for a gold semi-dios. Overhead, a large hand carved out of obsidian reached down from the darkness of the ceiling, its palm upturned. It had knobby fingers and sharp nails. The ceiling undulated in deep shades of celestial indigo and midnight blue. Pinpricks of stars blinked in familiar constellations. Shining with golden, glimmering light, the replica Sol Stone waited in the palm of the cupped hand. It was seemingly impossible to get to. Teo understood why the others had given up. That was, except for Aurelio and Auristella. Across the pit was the only other exit, and a ledge identical to Teo's. On it stood Aurelio and Auristella. Their heavy-looking bags sagged on their backs as they stared up at the soul stone. Auristella pointed up, explaining something to her brother while Aurelio nodded along, dark eyebrows bunched. When Auristella spotted Teo, anger flashed behind her flinty eyes. Following his sister's gaze, Aurelio's eyes landed on Teo from across the room. His lips popped open with surprise. Teo smirked, warm satisfaction flooding his stomach. Finally, an obstacle where he had the advantage. Now he just needed to not fuck it up. Head held high, he inched closer to the edge, doing his best not to look down and psych himself out. He had this. He needed to fly up there and grab the soul stone, and then he'd have more points than any of the other semi-dioses. Teo took a deep, steadying breath before launching himself into the air. Taking off was easy. Landing was a bit more difficult. Because of how the hand was curved, there wasn't a flat surface for Teo to perch on. Without an ounce of grace, Teo wrapped his arms around the wrist, but it was too wide to completely reach around. Skin damp with sweat, he lost his grip and slid down the polished obsidian into the palm. Teo's foot nudged the soul stone, and it rolled, teetering precariously at the edge, the pit yawning open far below. Teo's heart dropped. No! As the soul stone rolled over the edge, he threw himself forward, slamming his chin into the palm. Teo latched onto the soul stone, his fingers slipping across the smooth surface. Quickly, he hauled it back over the edge and hugged it against himself as he caught his breath. He was surprised how cool it was to the touch as he tucked it under his chin. Then again, it was only a replica. Up close, it was dizzying to stare at. Swirling solar flares twisted between Teo's fingers. What looked like liquid sunshine danced under the surface of the stone. If he squinted, Teo could have sworn there was something hidden inside. Two shadows almost made it look like someone was staring back at him, but it must have been his reflection, just a trick of the light. I did it! He sang in his head as a delirious laugh bubbled in his chest. Without any room left in his bag for such a large stone, Teo wrapped his arms securely around the soul stone before unfolding his wings. Careful not to look down, he glided down to the opposite ledge. He stumbled a bit, but otherwise made a smooth landing. With a huge grin on his face, Teo turned to show Aurelio. Stella! A violent force knocked into Teo, throwing him down. Bewildered, Teo looked up to find Auristella on top of him. She pinned his wings down with her knees, rendering them useless as Auristella wrenched the soul stone out of his grip. Her eyes were dark as night, the skin around them angry blue and purple. No! Teo shouted, trying to grab it back, but she leaned her weight harder onto her knees. Hot pain tore through Teo's shoulders. Instead of taking the stone and running for it, she held the soul stone out. "Here," Auristella said, trying to hand it to her brother. Aurelio stood rooted to the spot, shock and alarm written across his features. His eyes flickered to Teo, then back to Auristella.
"What are you doing?"
Teo tried to get up.
"Get off me!"
"Shut up," Auristella snarled, her teeth bared.
"Take it, Aurelio."
The color drained from Aurelio's face. He took a step back.
"I won't."
Teo slumped with relief, but it was short-lived. Auristella jerked back as if he'd slapped her. For a moment, hurt flashed across her face before it was quickly consumed by rage.
"I told you he was manipulating you," she seethed.
Black veins splintered out around her eyes. Teo balked.
"What are you talking about?
Stella, stop this,"
Aurelio insisted, but she wouldn't listen. Auristella raised the soul stone over her head. Aurelio lunged. Terror squeezed Teo's chest. He threw his arms over his head and squeezed his eyes shut.
Crash!
Debris hit Teo's cheek. When he opened his eyes, he saw Aurelio had thrown out his arm in an attempt to shield Teo. Auristella had smashed the soul stone on the ground. Pieces of glass and shards of white that looked eerily like bones skittered across the floor. For a moment, no one moved. Teo stared up at Auristella, fear and anger freezing him in place. Her chest heaved as she sucked in sharp, loud breaths between clenched teeth, staring at what was left of the fake soul stone. It was more than shock on Aurelio's face. It was fear.
"Stella,"
he said quietly. He reached out and touched her shoulder. She flinched like she had forgotten he was there. Auristella blinked and shook her head, almost like she was clearing her vision, and everything suddenly came back into focus. The bruises faded and her eyes went back to smoldering brown. She looked at her brother, at the shattered pieces, and then down at Teo, still pinned beneath her. Auristella reeled, quickly crawling off him. Teo took the opening and jumped to his feet. Suddenly, all three of their watches chimed at the same time. Teo's watch buzzed on his wrist. When he checked it, he saw the timer was counting down the last 5 minutes in angry red numbers. Time was almost up. Auristella leapt to her feet. Aurelio called after her, but she ran through the exit. Teo couldn't make heads or tails of what the hell had just happened. All he knew was his hands were shaking and his heart was pounding painfully in his chest. Aurelio's head swiveled back and forth between Teo and the door his sister had disappeared through. He checked his watch again and growled at the back of his throat.
"Come on," Aurelio said to Teo, waving him forward as he started to jog for the doorway. "I know the way up. Hurry."
There was no time to second guess. Teo ran for it. Aurelio let him get ahead, giving directions and shoving him in the right direction when he almost made a wrong turn. He guided them back out into the sunshine, and both of them tore up the steps. When they reached the top, Teo was only vaguely aware that the dioses and diosa Luna were already waiting. Nia stood next to the golden bowl, her stones piled in her arms.
"Where's Shio?"
she shouted, frantically looking for him behind Teo, but he wasn't there.
I don't know.
His watch shuddered, counting down the final seconds. Panic gripped Nia's voice.
"What do we do?"
"Dump your stones,"
Aurelio shouted, like he couldn't believe they were stalling. Nia jerked, a bewildered look on her face as she stared at Aurelio before looking at Teo. There was no time to question it. They had to act now, or else it wouldn't be just Shio who got disqualified.
"Dump them,"
Teo told her. She hesitated for only a second, glancing once more back to the steps before she turned and dumped her stones into the bowl. As Teo ran forward,
He pulled his bag off his chest, wrenching open the drawstrings. Aurelio shoved Teo's back, throwing him forward. His stomach rammed into the edge, and he upturned his obsidian stones into the bowl. Aurelio was right behind him. They tossed in their stones at the same time, gold and jade tumbling together. The last one slipped through the hole at the bottom. Just then, Shio appeared at the top of the steps, obsidian stones cradled against his chest.
Run! Teo shouted. Hurry!
Came Nia's frantic voice. Shio flung himself forward, but his foot caught on the last step. He crashed to his knees. A gasp caught in Teo's throat, dread spilling over him like icy water. Three obsidian stones fell from his hands and clattered across the floor, just as Mariachi's cornet sounded. Teo retreated back to his mother's side as thunderous applause shook the arena.
Are you okay?
She asked. Quetzal swiped her thumb against his chin, and when she pulled back, his jade blood was on her skin. He nodded numbly, distracted as he watched Shio get swept into Malasuerte's embrace. Nia paced back and forth in front of Tierra like a caged animal. As the rankings board was brought forward, Teo stole a look at Aurelio. There was a slight sheen of sweat on his brow. He was trying to smile for the cameras, but he kept glancing over at Auristella, who stood stick straight and rigid, staring ahead and barely moving. The events of what had happened just minutes before pinged around in Teo's head. What the hell was that? Was Auristella really that ruthless? His legs quaked as he watched her, paranoid she might go off on him again.
Sol has determined the rankings,
Diosa Luna announced. The glyphs slid on the stone slate. Teo tore his eyes away from the twins to the rankings. The crowd exploded with thunderous applause as people screamed for Teo. Jade banners waved and their chanting rose.
Pajarito! Pajarito!
Teo's mother squeezed his arm.
You're third,
Quetzal sang, her voice trilling. He couldn't believe it.
Third?
Teo repeated. The jade Quetzal sat in third among the gold glyphs bunched at the top.
I'm third!
Teo let out a booming laugh and buried his fingers in his hair.
He couldn't believe it.
Teo pulled in a deep, satisfied breath. He was almost there. He actually stood a chance at becoming Sunbearer.
Auristella!
Teo heard Atsi gasp. He searched for Lumbre's glyph with the A in the middle. He'd expected it to be somewhere near the top, and was confused when he couldn't find it. His eyes trailed down, 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 until he finally spotted it. Eighth. In one trial, Auristella had dropped from fifth place to eighth. She stood next to her mother with her hands tightened into white-knuckled fists at her sides. Auristella remained still, but Teo could have sworn he could see her lips and chin trembling. Aurelio wasn't smiling anymore. And then there was Xochi, who had dropped all the way to ninth. She stood huddled against her mother, her hands pressed over her mouth as tears sparked in her eyes. Every semi-diose looked upset, including Desi, as he was led away for his interview. It made the roaring cheers of the crowd feel ominous and out of place. Teo searched for his friends. Nia's glyph hovered safely in fourth, but Shio. Teo's blood ran cold. The jade eye of Dios Malasuerte had plummeted to last.
Shio,
he breathed, searching for him in the crowd. Shio stood next to Malasuerte, leaning against his father's side. His nose was red, his eyes glassy as his father wrapped his arm around his small shoulders in a vice-like grip.
What happened?
Teo stammered.
I tried to do what you guys told me to, Shio said, his voice tight. But I barely found any stones. I couldn't find you guys, and I didn't know where the finish was.
A wave of nausea rolled in Teo's stomach. They'd failed. There was no celebration among the semidioses this time. Reality hit them all in the stomach, swift and cold as iron. In the pursuit of becoming Sunbearer, Teo had forgotten his main goal, to keep his friends safe. Now Shio was in danger of being sacrificed. Back on the boat, Shio went right into his room and didn't come back out. "Should we try talking to him?" Teo asked. "I don't know. When I'm upset, I usually need my own space," Nia reasoned, but she wasn't happy with her own answer either. Teo's guilt was eating him alive from the inside out. Nia's worry manifested as anger, and without somewhere to focus it, she ended up pacing back and forth in the common room. Even Auristella and Ocello were silent, the former looking pale but still desperately trying to maintain an air of superiority. Teo took a long hot shower and stayed in his room through dinner. He wasn't hungry and he couldn't face the other competitors. Instead, he lay in bed and obsessed over how they could have done things differently, rethinking every move the three of them had made during the trials that had led them to this point. If he hadn't gone back for the Soul Stone, maybe he and Nia would have been able to look for Shio. When he found the finish, maybe he could have gone back for Shio and gotten him there on time. They could have shared their stones. If he hadn't been so concerned with winning, who knew what else he and Nia could have done to help him? Teo's stomach gave a sickened lurch. He remembered their first night in the temple, how he and Nia had talked Shio into begging the Osapan Dulce for hot chocolate, how it felt seeing Shio, this small, resigned little kid, smile for the first time since arriving. Teo had thought he could help Shio and keep him safe, but clearly he was wrong. That wasn't how the trials worked. Teo curled up in bed and his wings hugged tightly around him. Aurelio had been right from the start. He didn't belong here. He didn't deserve this. Sol had seen something inside of him that simply didn't exist. The next morning after breakfast, the Sol priests brought in new clothes for Teo to change into. This was the first time he was given a choice of what he wanted to wear. There were too many choices if you asked Teo. Instead of a carefully laid out ensemble, a whole rack was waiting for him. All the pieces varied in style and color. It took Teo a while to pick out something he liked that went well together, but he finally decided on royal blue slacks, a pastel green short sleeve button down, and a black sweater. When he met up with the others, Teo wasn't at all surprised to see that Aurelio and Auristella had coordinated in matching black and red outfits, somehow still looking like supermodels. Teo eyed Auristella, hating that he was actually genuinely afraid of her now. Desi had seemed to pull on every piece of blush pink clothing he could find, and Ocello wore such a heinous mix of colors that Teo suspected they might be colorblind. "You look cozy," Teo said to Shio with a grin. He was bundled up in jeans and a deep purple hoodie. "I'm freezing," he grumbled, shivering on the deck. "Here!" Nia took off the long white cashmere scarf she'd been wearing and wrapped it snugly around Shio's neck several times until all that could be seen of him was his nose and eyes.
"Thanks,"
came Shio's muffled voice. "How are you?" Teo asked, trying hard to sound nonchalant. The last thing he wanted was to scare Shio off or make him feel even worse about being in last place. Shio shrugged, causing Nia's scarf to conceal even more of his face.
"Fine. Why?"
Teo looked to Nia for help. He pressed his brows together and gestured slightly to the younger boy. She shrugged in response, as if to say, "What can you do?" This time, there was no fancy tram to take them up to the city. Instead, they had to climb a very steep, very rickety set of wooden steps to a platform where three vans waited for them.
"Gross,"
Auristella sneered under her breath as they split up and got in. Opcion priests dressed in white and black checkered robes drove them through the city. It was a bumpy ride that reeked of exhaust, taking a gravel road from the dock to where the main streets were. When they curved around a bend, Laberinto finally came into view. The peninsula sloped up toward the cliff face, putting the entire city on display. It was inarguably the strangest city Teo had ever seen. No two buildings were the same. Many were half-finished, while others started off in one style but continued in a completely different one. The residential areas were also eclectic, with no common theme between houses. They were brightly colored and stacked tightly together in what seemed like random streets until Teo realized, "It's a maze!" Indeed, the tightly packed streets crisscrossed and twisted around each other, several ending in dead ends. Nia let out a low whistle. "I feel sorry for whoever has to deliver the mail." The Opcion priests delivered them to Labyrintho's famous outdoor market, where the options never run out. They were given an hour and a half before dinner to shop to their heart's content in whatever shops or restaurants they liked. The outdoor market was arranged in a long rectangular block of small buildings and stalls, with finely paved walkways blocked off from the traffic of the city. The smell of sizzling meats from one of the many cart vendors spread throughout the market. Auristela immediately grabbed Ocelo's and Aurelio's hands and ran off in the direction of a high-end clothing store.
"Oh yeah," Nia exclaimed. "Shopping day. I wonder if they have an athleisure store. Ooh, or a jeweler. I could get some new bracelets to make into weapons. Where do you want to go, Teo?"
Teo had his eyes set on a long fountain at the center of the strip. The ledge was flat and roughly bench height. "I think I'm just going to hang out over there, actually. I'm not in much of a shopping mood."
"Me either,"
Shio agreed.
Nia groaned. "Come on, you should at least try to have some fun."
But Teo shook his head. "Seriously, Nia, you go ahead. We're beat from the trials and it's not like there's anything here we need. Shio and I will chill by the fountain. You can come find us when you're done."
Fine, Nia agreed. "But I'm totally looking for some new basketball shorts for you. Those ratty ones you wear to bed are embarrassing."
"What's embarrassing about my shorts?" Teo demanded, but Nia was already walking away, waving him off dismissively. Teo sighed and started toward the fountain with Shio tagging along. Once they were seated, Teo decided to try to broach the subject of Shio standing in the trials one more time. He could understand Shio wanting to seem tough and unbothered, but the poor kid had to be scared.
"So," Teo began, but before he could say any more, Shio shook his head.
"I'm fine, Teo," the other boy insisted. "Seriously, it's a miracle I lasted this long out of last place. We have one trial left, and all I can do is try my best."
"That's very healthy," Teo admitted. So why did he still feel so bad?
"Can I join you guys?"
a voice asked from above. It was Marino, looking longingly toward the water behind them.
"Of course," Teo said, gesturing to the empty space beside him.
Marino took a seat, a look of relief spread across his face.
"Thanks. Don't get me wrong, the market is cool and everything, but I'm just..."
"Not in the mood?"
Shio offered.
Marino nodded enthusiastically. "How are we supposed to unwind with the pressure up this high?"
"Seriously," Teo agreed. Across the walkway, he could see Ocelo and Auristela piling dresses and suits into the hands of a poor mortal shopkeeper. While they were busy, Teo saw Aurelio wander farther down the street on his own, his head swiveling back and forth like he was looking for something specific.
"Are y'all talking about the trials?"
Shochi asked, approaching and taking a seat beside Marino. She leaned back so her head was tilted over the water, stretched her long legs, and crossed them at the ankle.
"I'm so over it all, you know? I just want to go home,"
Atsi agreed, materializing beside her. But rather than sitting beside the other golds, Atsi shuffled down the line to take the space next to Shio. Teo thought he noticed a flush of pink beneath Shio's massive scarf. Shochi snorted.
"I doubt the academy will even give us leave to go home between the end of the trials and returning to school."
"For real?" Teo asked. "Even though you were all competing?" Marino and Shochi shook their heads, frowning.
We'd lose precious training time, Marino explained.
I would kill for a week off, Shochi winced. Sorry, poor turn of phrase. I just mean I would do anything to spend some time with my mom in the gardens.
To just float out on the open sea, Marino agreed. Not fighting a monster or rescuing civilians, just for a little bit.
An uneasy silence fell between them. Teo felt a strange surge of sympathy for all the gold students of the academy. Sure, they were spoiled, selfish attention hogs, but they were still people, no matter how much they wanted everyone else to think otherwise. Teo couldn't imagine not being allowed to go home when all this was over. A few minutes later, Nia emerged, dejected, from the athleisure store she'd found with Desi in tow. She plopped down right on the ground at Teo's feet, leaning her head back to rest in his lap.
I shopped till I dropped, she declared and signed.
Desi gave her a sympathetic pat on the head.
You didn't even buy anything, Teo laughed.
I know, she cried. Isn't it pathetic? I can't bring myself to get into it. These stupid trials are really harshing my vibe.
The other kids murmured in agreement. And so, for the rest of their allotted shopping time, they sat and thought about the impending final trial. Every few minutes, one of them would make a half-hearted attempt to distract the others from their thoughts, but any conversation they tried quickly sputtered out. Nia was right. The vibes were way off. The remaining three competitors materialized back from their shopping sprees. Auristella held a bag in each hand full of clothes and accessories. Ocello had somehow managed to purchase an entire punching bag full of sand and was trying to fit it into the back of the car, much to the priest's annoyance. Meanwhile, Aurelio held only a small paper bag in the crook of his arm.
Aurelio,
Auristella said, equal notes of concern and annoyance in her voice.
You didn't even buy anything.
I did, Aurelio said, digging his hand into the paper bag. I didn't really know what anything was, so the shop owner picked everything out for me.
He pulled out a handful of colorfully wrapped pieces of candy.
Candy?
Auristella said, giving her brother a confused look. A surprised laugh jumped in Teo's chest. Aurelio gave him a piece of masapan along with a small, embarrassed smile.
Pulparino chamoy?
Marino gasped, eyes going wide.
Borachitos,
Atsi sang.
I haven't had coconuts in years, Shochi added. Can we have some?
Nia pleaded, clutching her hands to her chest.
I've got more than I need, Aurelio said, holding the bag out.
The others swarmed him immediately.
This is awesome. You're the best. Thanks, Aurelio.
Aurelio just nodded awkwardly, blushing. When Teo smiled at him, he was pleased to see his cheeks burn an even darker shade of crimson. When the priests returned to escort them all to dinner, Aurelio continued to be the center of everyone's attention as they ate candy and cracked jokes. Teo enjoyed his piece of masapan on the drive back, choosing to ignore Auristella, who kept shooting him a venomous glare. The drive to Opcion's temple took them through the city's winding streets. They passed the restaurant district, where eateries bordered a courtyard with picnic benches. There were several tables and chairs with board games set outside office buildings for public use. When they pulled up to the temple, Teo wasn't surprised to find it matched the chaotic nature of the rest of the city. The architecture was a hodgepodge of different styles. Some sections were plain stone, while other levels were brightly painted. Every window was a different shape, some with intricate moldings and others just boring squares. It looked like almost every resident of Laberinto got to contribute to the design of the temple, and, judging by the scaffolding on the west wing, it changed regularly. Opcion priests guided them through the seemingly endless rows of hallways until they were brought into the dining room. Diosa Opcion stood in the middle of the room. Her hair was cropped so short it was barely a shadow, and she wore a simple white dress. Her face was round, and while she looked very friendly, there was something about her expression that made it seem like she knew something you didn't, and found it amusing.
Welcome, competitors,
She gave them a warm and friendly smile as they filed in.
Please help yourselves and sit where you'd like,
the diosa said, gesturing. Unlike the other cities where the tables had been long rectangles, this one was round. The smell of food immediately made Teo's mouth water. Instead of being served by priests, the food was laid out on long tables along the far wall. There was every food imaginable, but an especially large assortment of fish, which Teo figured had to do with them being so close to the ocean. When they had their food, Teo, Nia, and Shio picked a spot to sit. Diosa Opcion waited for everyone to settle before taking the empty chair next to Teo. When he returned to thank her for her hospitality, the diosa looked almost completely different. If it weren't for the fact that she was the only one well over 7 feet tall, he would have thought she was an entirely different person. In a blink, her hair had grown, now presenting as deep brown curls that hung below her suddenly cleft chin. Teo realized that when she moved, the color of her dress shifted, like it couldn't decide what color it wanted to be. She gave Teo that same secretive look again as he gaped at her.
Whoa,
Shio breathed, openly staring at her.
Thank you,
Diosa Opcion replied with an amused grin. When she tucked a lock of hair behind her ear, it changed again, now long and straight and the color of sun-dried wheat. They ate as they quietly conversed, watching the diosa change as often as she chewed.
I'm surprised you're considered a jade,
Shio said to her.
Why is that?
You're just,
he blushed,
very powerful.
Ocelo snorted.
You disagree?
Diosa Opcion said, studying them thoughtfully. Before their eyes, Ocelo's hair shifted until its jaguar rosettes were pale pink and dark fuchsia. Desi gasped in delight, and Shochi laughed.
What?
Ocelo demanded. Shochi dug into her pocket and pulled out a compact mirror.
I think pink suits you,
she said as she handed it to them.
You did this?
Ocelo said, somewhere between surprised and impressed, darting their eyes at the diosa, but they couldn't seem to look away from their own reflection.
Just a choice,
Diosa Opcion said.
A simple choice for a single creature.
As quick as it had changed, Ocelo's hair shifted back to normal. They snapped the mirror closed and tossed it back to Shochi, glaring at their plate.
Choice is the most powerful force in existence. Much more powerful than me,
the diosa said casually, gaining some shocked looks.
Jades, golds, these descriptions mean nothing, really,
Opcion said, dismissively waving her hand.
We gave them to ourselves. It's humanity that has all the power. How can you say that?
Auristella snapped, as if the diosa had insulted her personally.
So much like your mother,
Diosa Opcion said, and Auristella sat up straight like someone had smacked her between the shoulder blades.
You think humans serve us, don't you?
No one said or did anything. It sounded like a trick question, but Teo didn't understand how. That was the way the world worked. Everyone knew that.
We serve them, Opcion clarified. That's our power. It's a privilege they've granted us. Our people have free will, and our power would mean nothing without them believing in it.
Without the gods, the world would end,
Nia said, talking slowly like she thought the diosa was confused.
They keep us safe, just like Sol and their sacrifice, Marino added.
Yeah, that's the whole reason we have the Sunbearer trials, isn't it?
Otzi said, unsure.
To keep the Soul Stone fueled.
Everyone turned to Aurelio. He was usually so quiet whenever they ate together, it was a bit startling to witness him speaking up. But he ignored the stares and kept his focus on Diosa Opcion, his expression stony and serious.
Without them, the world would end.
Yes! A single choice could end the world,
Opcion agreed.
And only one of you gets to make that choice. What does that say about the rest of your power?
She smiled.
But I suppose that's why you're all here, isn't it?
Teo wasn't sure what to make of her knowing look.
That was weird,
Shio said, as they walked back down the rickety steps to the dock.
Yeah, it was like she was talking in riddles or something, Nia agreed, rubbing her temples. It gave me a headache. What the heck did she mean by any of that?
I don't know, Teo said, but he was deep in thought. A single choice could end the world. Opción had said it like some offhand comment, but it was fucking with his head. Something about it made him think of all the arguments he and Aurelio had gotten into, about what it meant to be the sunbearer or the sacrifice. It was like the answer was right there. He just couldn't see it. Back on the boat, Teo, Shio, and Nia tried to be productive and do some last-minute brainstorming in the common room. Tomorrow they would return to Sol Temple and have one final day before the fifth trial. But they were entirely wiped out. Nia fell asleep first, her quiet snores becoming background noise, while Teo listed off previous trials from Shio's notes, searching for a hint of what was to come. After asking a question and getting no response, Teo looked up to find Shio, slumped against Nia's side, fast asleep. We should go to bed, Teo whispered, plucking at Shio's sleeve. His eyes flew open and he sat upright.
Now?
Shio asked groggily, blinking his eyes to get them to focus.
Already?
It's almost morning, Teo told him.
Can we stay up a little longer?
The way he cast a furtive glance toward the cabins and the strain in Shio's voice gave Teo pause. Maybe he was just dreading the final trial or simply didn't want to be alone. Either way, Teo didn't have the heart to tell him no. He sighed. Fine, a little while longer, but then we have to sleep. Shio nodded. Teo sat down next to Shio and flicked the TV on before turning the volume low. As Shio settled back against the cushions, Teo idly flipped through the channels. When Chisme's annoying face came on screen, he changed it immediately to some nature documentary. Shio's deep, quiet breaths mixed with the droning voice of the narrator, letting Teo turn off his brain, if only for a little while.